Well, good morning. Man, it's great to be with you this morning. May the Lord be enthroned on the praises of his people, right? What a joy it is to raise him up in praise as we sing. Before we get into our passage this morning, I just want to say a word about what's coming up this weekend. As many of you know, the Magnify Conference will be happening this coming weekend, and I just want to encourage you, if you can take the time out of this Friday and Saturday, you will see there are note cards on the seats as well, to come and enjoy this. The keynote speaker, his name is Conrad Mbewe, and he is, his nickname, he's a pastor in Africa, but his nickname is the African Spurgeon. That's what they call him. And so I'll just highlight a couple things. He's pastor of Kabwata Reformed Baptist Church in Zambia, Africa. I already told you his nickname. He oversees the planting of Reformed churches in that area, and he's the editor of Reformation Zambia magazine. He writes very well, but often he writes in two national papers, and he's also a blogger, and he's also the president of Reformed Baptist Preachers College in Zambia. So if you can come out and enjoy a servant of the Lord speak, I encourage you to do so. That's this Friday. And this Saturday, you can still register online. You will be blessed. I can promise you that. The Lord will speak through him to you if you come out to that. And that's at University Reformed Church in Lansing. So just wanted to say a word about that. I'm going to be going, Lord willing. Me and my wife will be going if we can find babysitters. And we're going to enjoy it as well. And I think a couple of the elders are going as well. Are all the elders going, Brandon?
I think so.
All the elders are going, so trust me, it'll just be a weekend where you get to feast on the Word of God through a very gifted speaker and a godly man. Well, let's get into our passage this morning. We're going to be in 1 Peter. They say, when you come to a new church, you only get one first sermon. That's all you get. I've been thinking, what is the Lord pressing on me to speak this morning for my first and only first sermon? And the Lord laid 1 Peter chapter 1 on my heart as I was thinking about this, primarily because I want this to be the theme of how we see Graham grow and how we see Graham move forward. And I think you'll see what I'm getting at as we go through our passage this morning. When a baby is born, their primary means of growth is food. Mom's milk is the primary way they're going to get the nutrients needed to grow. When a plant or tree needs energy to grow, it is a combination, right, of light from the sun and water from the ground. When a city wants to economically grow or expand, it typically occurs through the job market by offering work and jobs, brings financial growth. And of course, where there is jobs, people oftentimes flock to. And so you have people growth. The primary means for a Christian's spiritual growth is the Word of God and the Word of God alone. There is no other topic in the Bible that's repeated over and over and over again that emphasizes the way Christians primarily grow. It is not the only means of growth. Yes, there's fellowship with other believers. There's communion, there's prayer, there's fasting, other spiritual disciplines. However, God's Word is the root of our growth. You're going to see that in our passage this morning, that is how we're going to grow in love for the Lord and for our love for each other. Consider 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Luke chapter 8, verse 11 says this, now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. When Jesus was giving that parable in Luke 8, and he used a seed to describe the Word of God, the seed is the source of growth. There are several places where there is a plea to hear the word of the Lord as if there is nothing else more important. Listen to Jeremiah 44, 26. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. Or Jeremiah 42, 15. Then hear the word of the Lord. Or imagine Luke chapter 3, verse 2 with me for a second. Talking about John the Baptist. Says this, during the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Did you hear that? The word of God came to John. And then he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. In John's day, God gave John a word for the purpose of starting a revival. What started that revival? A word from the Lord. The word of the Lord brings new spiritual growth. It brought new spiritual growth to a Jewish people who were dead in their religion. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Throughout the book of Acts, you'll see that it says the word of God continually increased. Why the word of God continually increased? Because it's the word of God that is responsible for bringing new souls to Christ. It is the Word of God that is responsible for our growth in salvation. And what is interesting is that the phrases about the Word of God throughout the book of Acts increasing appear more than the phrases about new people believing in the book of Acts. What's more important? What's equally as important? That the Word of God increases. My goal is not to do anything novel or anything new, but to remind us that if we want new people to come to Christ, which all of us do, that's what we pray for. We were praying for that this morning over in the side room at 9 o'clock. If we want to continue to see people mature in Christ, then we must sprinkle the seed of God's word into every ministry here at Graham Church. That's what we must do. It must be studied. It must be memorized. It must be reflected upon. Let me go back to that memorization piece. There is no age where you cannot memorize the Word of God. Amen. Whether you're young or whether you are elderly, we can memorize the Word of God together. And God has given us minds to do that. Let me keep going, though. It must be studied. It must be memorized. It must be reflected upon. It must be meditated on. It must be spoken to one another. It must be read continually, etc., etc., etc. And according to 1 Peter, if we do this, we will love one another more. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, to hear what your word says here in 1 Peter, we need your spirit. I pray that you'd come soften our hearts so that we'd be ready to hear it and we'd be ready to obey it. But Lord, we know that Holy Spirit, you need to supply the ability to obey it. So we ask that you would do that. As you've given us new hearts, supply obedience and make us readily desirable to do that. Pray in your name, amen. Our big idea this morning is this: the Word of God is essential for loving one another and growing up in our salvation. Very simple. The Word of God is essential for loving one another and growing up in our salvation. Look at point number one here, the word that brings love. Look at chapter 1, verse 22 of 1 Peter. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Here in chapter 1, verse 22, we see what God's word brings to the table of our lives. It develops and produces genuine and sincere love for people. Notice what Peter says. We have a sincere brotherly love. Why? How can we love one another sincerely? Because our souls have been purified by obedience to the truth. What truth did you and me obey? Well, the truth of the gospel. Mark 1:15, Jesus says when he was coming into the region preaching, he was saying, repent and believe in the gospel. Or Romans 1:5 calls this the obedience of faith. That is, faith in Christ for the forgiveness of sins is an act of obedience. And it is this act that purifies our souls so that we can love people truly and genuinely, showing them what they need in Christ. Notice the point is that you already have this cleansed heart, the way it's phrased. Having been cleansed, having been purified. It refers to a past tense experience. The term sincere before brotherly love refers to no ulterior motives. We're not putting on a face. We're not play acting when we look at each other face to face. We do not love one another because I have this thing that I want to get from you. It is as though God is saying, you have the tool, you've been purified, so start loving people sincerely. You have a new heart that works from an unconditional mentality. Now start operating out of that. I gave it to you free of charge, he's saying. I cleansed you of your sins. Now start utilizing it. This word, brotherly love, it's the root word for the city Philadelphia. Literally, the Greek word is pronounced Philadelphion. And it originally meant a kind of love commitment that literal family members had towards one another. But here, it's a kind of affection we have for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a special commitment to one another that supersedes most other relationships. The word is used in Romans 12:10. It says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor, Paul said. I don't know of many verses where the Bible encourages competition. But it seems like we should be competing in showing honor to one another. This leads to the command to love one another. And many of you have heard this word before, agapao in Greek, means to love without regard to my interest, but for the good of the other person. I lose something, or I sacrifice something so that they would gain something in whatever action I'm doing. We should be able to do this to both Christians and non-Christians, but how much more towards those who believe in Jesus? From this comes the rest of the discussion about the Word of God. The Word of God is that powerful that it can generate a seed in your heart to turn your heart to live this way towards another person. The doctrine of the Word of God, the message of Scripture to trust and cling to Christ, is not a topic of its own in this passage, but it grounds, or it is the foundation by which you and I can love one another. And that word from the Bible that you heard from someone or read produced an eternal change in your and I's hearts. And the beautiful thing is that change is long-lasting. It doesn't fade. So the question is, after you look at your own life, as you think about your own actions, your own habits, if you're not loving other people well, it could be that God's word is not as central in your life as it should be. It would appear that there is a direct line between the word's role in my life and my growth in loving people, even difficult people. You have to understand that when Scripture gives doctrine, when it's describing doctrine, it oftentimes is not the main point of the passage. The main point of this passage is love one another. And then the eternal Word of God, the doctrine of the Word of God that we're going to get into, is what grounds that. So that you can have the confidence that you can love one another. Because as Peter goes on to see, you have an imperishable seed that has started in your soul and it will not die. Let's look at this, an enduring word, verse 23. Notice the first word of verse 23 is since, or you could say because. This word tells me that the main part of this section is not what comes next, it was what I just read before. The main part was love one another, as I said, but we are expected to do that because, Peter says, you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. The Word of God caused your new spiritual life in Christ. The fact that you believe in Jesus was not because you were smart enough or intelligent enough to trust Him. Although God used your intelligence so that you would understand His truth, the reason you have new life is because the Word of God created it in you. Amen. There's a reason Hebrews 4 says that the Word of God is active and alive. Because the Word of God has that power to do that. As God created physical life through His Word in Genesis 1, He, to an even more miraculous degree, created spiritual life in our hearts. Amen. And this word, born again, speaks of regenerating life. Take someone that is physically alive, but now you have new spiritual life. And it is this active work that moved you to believe in Jesus. It is a cause and effect sort of a thing. Ephesians 2:8 would call this a gift. You guys have probably memorized that verse. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not your own doing. Or literally, it is not from you in the Greek. It was planted in you so that you would believe and trust in Christ. Notice how he says incorruptible here, talking about the Word of God. Or it's imperishable. He's comparing it to that which is perishable. A perishable seed. What is the perishable seed? Well, he's referring to physical life. Physically, every human is born of corruptible or perishable seed. That is, when a sperm meets with an egg to form new human life in the womb, it's stained with a sin nature, causing it to die eventually. But God's seed, through the word of Christ, the word of salvation, is eternal. Amen. It produces new eternal life in Christ. Incorruptible means a seed that is indestructible, that is permanent. A seed that can't be lost. A seed that can't die. Now you might be thinking, Brett, what about the parable of the sower? Where three of the four soils where the seed fell died. Didn't last. The seed only lasted on one of the soils. Well, how can Peter call this imperishable if over in that perishable we see seed dying, or the word of God as the seed dying? It's a great question. I was rolling that over in my head this week. In the parable of the sower, it's talking about the declared word of God. Jesus was going around in his ministry preaching to four different kinds of people. And only in one of those kinds of people did the word actually grow to having fruit. But what Jesus does not tell you in that parable is that there is something going on that when the seed hits the good soil, that causes it to take root and flourish. But Jesus doesn't tell you what that thing is. That other factor is the work of the Spirit as the seed is cast onto the soil. Amen. Peter mentions being born again here in comparison to the seed of the Word of God. Where's the other place we see the term new birth or being reborn at? In John chapter 3, Jesus talking to Nicodemus, and he talks about the work of the Holy Spirit in the process of being born again. And so the work of the Spirit and the work of the Word work in tandem to produce an imperishable seed. And when those two work together, when the Holy Spirit takes the seed of the Word and plants it, it becomes imperishable. We could call this, which then produces faith in Christ, we could call this the effectual calling of God. Wayne Grudem says this, "This calling is a kind of summons from the King of the universe, and it has such power that it brings about the response that it asks for in people's hearts." Amen. We could refer to it as an internal calling. Anthony Hokema says this, unless God opens the heart of the hearer, which is what I'm talking about, thus enabling him or her to believe. In reality, Hokema is just getting this from Acts 16:14, where it says, God opened the heart of Lydia to pay attention and receive and accept the things Paul was teaching her. So the Spirit's job is to open the heart of people to then receive that word. And when those two things combine, it is an indestructible seed that grows up into salvation. Amen. In the heart of a person. Amen. Notice also that the same word that describes the word of God, abiding, also appears in John 15. So he calls this the living and abiding word of God. Where else do we see abiding in Scripture? Well, in John 15, we're called to abide in Christ. If you are going to abide in Christ, you must abide in His Word. To stay true to Christ, we must stay true to His revealed Word. This is where Jesus will speak to you and me. I had a great 2 minutes with my son this week, where I was able to look at him and say, John, do you know why we read the Bible? Because it's how we hear God speak. We don't read the Bible to check off a list or check a box. We read it because we want to hear from God. Amen. That's why we read it every day. That's why you should read it in your homes to your children, in your private time, when you're in the car, when you're at work, if you're able to do that. We want to hear God speak because we love doing what God says to do, right? Now notice the Old Testament text that Peter uses to prove his point. He claimed that the Word of God is imperishable, it's incorruptible, and he proves it by quoting Isaiah 40, 6 and 8, which is in the context of God declaring to Israel that she will receive comfort, tenderness, and forgiveness from her sins. It's also in the context of judgment. And the grass in Isaiah 40, verses 6 and 8, you can flip back to your pages on your own if you want to do that, but he's quoting it almost word for word. It's metaphorical of Babylon, Israel's enemy, in the book of Isaiah. And so the point is that Isaiah is saying that Israel does not need to be afraid of Babylon because they're nothing more than a blade of grass. Grass, you see it, and it can be burned up within an instant. It's that fragile. And Israel should not worry about Babylon. But for Peter's purposes, the whole human race is that fragile. We're all that fragile. A child can be born 1 minute and then die the very same day. Compared to that, the seed of God's word cannot be broken and it will remain forever. Compared to the fragile human life that we are. Now, it is not only eternal, but it causes someone. The Word of God itself is not just eternal, but it causes someone who is as fragile as grass to be that indestructible as well. That is, the gift of salvation produced from the Spirit's use of the Word in the heart causes a temporary, fragile being to be an eternal being who will enjoy God's presence forever. Wow, what a joy. And it's this word now that he's going to define. What is this word that he's talking about? What is this word of God? Third point, the word as good news. The word as good news. Point number three. What is the living and abiding word of God? The living and abiding word of God is the good news of Jesus Christ that was preached to you, he says. And this word is the good news that was preached to you, referring to the message of Christ. For Israel, part of their good word was that you do not need to be afraid of Babylon. In God's eyes, they're nothing more than a blade of grass. And so the other part was that they will have their sins forgiven and they will eventually be released from Babylon 70 years later, as the prophet Jeremiah tells us. But our good news is far better. It's the message of Christ, where we are forgiven from our rebellion against God, our breaking of His commandments, and the eternal captivity in hell that we were bound to. Peter is saying Jesus is the good news that frees your soul and your body from these things. Do you believe in Christ? Do you believe that good news? That's the question you have to ask your own heart this morning. Now, in our last point, we will see the so what. What do I do in light of this having been purified from my sins through Christ and experience being born again from God's word, becoming active in my heart by the Spirit? What's the so what? Well, he says we are to grow up in our salvation. We are to grow up in our salvation. Point number four, the word that brings growth. Point number four, the word that brings growth. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. The Word of God not only produces indestructible salvation in the hearts of humans, but it is also the means of growth and maturity. Notice there is a negative and a positive to this growth. The negative is stated in verse 1. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Malice is just simply evil. It's the general word here for evil. Kakion. Deceit and hypocrisy take us back to the idea of love the church with sincere brotherly love. Don't love people hypocritically, if that's even possible. Do not give one kind of front to their face and then a different one behind their back. Hypocrisy, it just means playing the actor or being a pretender to people's faces. In other words, do not act like you care and love them to their face if in reality you don't. That hurts. Envy in the list refers to something worse than jealousy, according to C.S. Lewis. Augustine defined it as begrudging God's gifts to others. In other words, you do not just want the thing for yourself. You don't want the other person to have it at all. Right? Jealousy is, oh, they have a nice car. Oh, I'd like a car like that for me. Envy says, I want that car so they can't have it. That's envy. Slander is speaking evil of someone so that their character falls before the eyes of another person. Usually, if it's not true of the person. Trying, in other words, to destroy someone's impeccable character. These are the ungodly attitudes and actions that we need to reject. These are the actions that we are to remove. Literally, to take off, he says, put them away, strip them from your practice in life. And the means by which you are going to do this is by longing for the pure spiritual milk, and that by it you may grow up into salvation. This is where the Word of God continues to have an active and regular part in your life. You know, I've been in ministry now almost 10 years. There is a couple that I got to know, and they were going through a divorce. I met with the husband one time and just started asking him questions, and it came out that he had a regular prayer life, but for the 20-something years that they were married, he rarely ever, if ever, read the Bible. And I asked him, I said, how are you going to lead your wife if you are not letting God speak to you? Prayer is you talking to God. But more important than that, we need God to speak to us. Amen. If we don't open up Scripture, how is that ever going to happen? It's not. It is interesting that in the book of Revelation, the phrase, the word of God, always appears in the context of martyrs who are suffering for the word of God. They are faithful to it all the way through the suffering. It is the word of God that brings us to that point where you can stand and be faithful to Christ and his word no matter the opposition. If God's word lacks in your life, you will lack the courage to stand when the pressure from the world bears down on you. Now, the verb in this last point here is long for. That's the verb. Long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. The put away all malice and all deceit is actually not a verb. It's what we would call a participle. And all that means is this: it's not the main point. The main point is long for the pure spiritual milk. Because if you long for the pure spiritual milk and you give yourself a steady diet of the pure spiritual milk, that is the word of God, guess what? You will be able to then put away malice, deceit, slander, all those things. If you try to put away malice and slander apart from the word of God, you'll fall flat on your face every time. You know, freezers work well at preserving food, typically, when they're working. Without the freezer, though, much of our food would spoil. Some might say the Word of God has the ability to preserve our walk, our spiritual walk. But you know, freezers just do a good job at keeping things from going bad. The Word of God is much more powerful than that. It doesn't just keep us from going bad. It transforms us forward. Boy, I'd love to have a freezer that could take old rotten food and turn it new again. Like, wouldn't that be really cool? But the Word of God does that for us spiritually. It transforms us. It moves us forward. Takes our rotten sinfulness and it transforms us. God's Word will grow you in these areas. Just take a listen here. Number one, the Word of God actively reveals sin. Just as the Ten Commandments reveal sin, so does the whole Word of God reveal sin. That's a blessing to us. Number two, the Word helps you understand God in a deeper way. It helps you understand God in a deeper way. In fact, go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. If indeed you've tasted that the Lord is good. Don't you taste and see that the Lord is good when you open up His Word? Amen. Yes, you do. The Word of God also helps you speak truth boldly and graciously. Jeremiah 5:14, the Word of God is described as a fire in Jeremiah's mouth. A literal fire in his mouth. He can't just keep it in. He's got to get it out. Number four, the Word of God will help you increase. It will help you increase it and its effect in the world. as you digest the Word of God and then you speak the Word of God out in your life, you will help the Word of God increase in the world, as we already saw in the book of Acts. And then number five, the Word of God better enables you to stand up against pressure from the world. As we saw in the book of Revelation, as I mentioned, that every time the Word of God is mentioned, it's in the context of martyrs who are suffering, and they're not giving in to the pressure of the world. I'm not an Anglican, but the Anglican Catechism has some wisdom for us this morning. It says this about the Word of God: the prayerful study of Scripture forms me for life in Christ and service of God and my neighbor. Did you hear that out of the Anglican Catechism? Amen. The prayerful study of Scripture forms me for life in Christ and service of God and my neighbor. Brothers and sisters, there are people that study the Word of God probably more than a lot of Christians do. But they don't study it prayerfully. There are liberal scholars that have probably spent more hours in God's Word than I have, unfortunately. But they don't study it prayerfully. Listen to the wisdom of this catechism. If you study Scripture, study it prayerfully so that you will be formed for life in Christ, that is, being able to live life that is pleasing to God, and you will be ready for service to God, and you'll be ready to serve your neighbor. I want to end with a story. I couldn't have asked a better thing to happen this week. We were out at the Lansing Lake walking around. Be ready to share the Word of God at every moment in your life that God brings, whoever He brings into your path. I was walking along the lake. There was a guy sitting on a bench. He was a little intoxicated. He was smoking. Started talking to me. He's a young kid, probably 25, 26 years old. Came to realize he was Islamic. He goes to the mosque, I guess the local mosque nearby. And we got talking about our religions. We got talking about what we believe. And we talked about a lot of different things. But there were a couple points in there where I said, you know what? I said, one of the differences, though, between what you guys say about Jesus and what Christianity, what I believe about Jesus, is that He's a mere prophet to you. But I believe He's the creator of all of life. Amen. That's a big difference. And I said, if you follow Jesus, He will give you eternal life. Free of charge. Doesn't ask you to do anything for it. Don't have to check off a bunch of boxes to go get it. Just believe and submit and give my life to Christ, and He gives eternal life free of charge. It was the highlight of my week. I had to talk with this gentleman. His name's Isaid. I think I got his name right. Don't quote me on that. But pray for him if you think about him. I'm going to pray for him. But you never know who God is going to bring into your path. You have the Word of God. Let it form you, but let it come out no matter who you talk to. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You so much. What an encouragement that the Word of God, it forms us, it preserves us, it creates new life within us so that we can live life with a purpose and live life the way You created us to live life, which is to give glory to You. Help us to do that as we study this week, as we interact with people. Give us wisdom to know how to speak Your word. We pray in Your name. Amen.